Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we discuss what you need to do to be successful in business, your career, and life. Have you ever felt like you needed to get permission to do something? Or maybe you had to give permission for someone so they can do something? I know there are many times that we need to grant ourselves or others permission just to do something. Boy, I'm using that word do something a lot. I guess we all want to do something. Heck, you could be thinking right now, I got to chat with my boss and request more time off. Maybe you have to make a decision about the kids going out on that major outing with their friends, or should you take that big trip when money is really tight, or giving yourself permission to start something new, maybe a new business. Oh, how about especially when your household is, you got to feed people and you got a mortgage to pay. Granting yourself permission can be very emotional. It means you need to let go of the past and start moving on. And that can be hard to do, and it all just depends on the circumstances around you. Giving permission is a process. You know what I did? I actually Googled steps to give permission to see what would actually come up. And one of the things that popped at the top of the list actually came from the technology instructions category. It basically said, add, modify, and delete user. And I thought, what a great way to give permission. Could you imagine add, modify, and delete user? That's my steps to actually grant myself permission or give somebody else permission to do something. It did make me laugh, as you can tell. But we all know that life granting permission can be very empowering or very nerve-wracking and requires all sorts of requirements, information we need to know. We need to know or do something. But once the decision is made, permission is granted. Most people feel like a burden is off their back, like a weight has been lifted. Decision made, permission granted. Let's move on, as it would say. I guess we just feel a little bit better inside because we've done something. We've just, the new is just around the corner. Maybe it's time for you to give yourself or someone around you permission to do something so that they can move on. In a way, we're going to be chatting about that today, permission, from a number of different perspectives. My guest today is Chris Johnson. Now, Chris is an entrepreneurial pioneer, a CEO of Permission Click, and all-around swell guy. I've been hanging around with him just a little bit before we started the show. I get to know that. I guess what we can say, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here, too. You're sort of a very high-energy guy, which I really like that.
It is 11 a.m. Had to get started at some point today.
we all have to get started at some point. Chris, the best thing to do, I guess, is just sort of tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm a born and bred Winnipegger and a very, very proud and loud Winnipegger. I try to be, certainly. I'm up to a few different things. So as you mentioned, I have a company called Permission Click, which we started here in Winnipeg, and we've grown now to 18 people, and we're going to continue growing, and I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about that. And then I have a whole bunch of other cycles in life pre-having my first kid that I wanted to leave Winnipeg a little better than I found it, and was very lucky to meet hundreds of other people who felt the same way.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's a generational thing or what, but I know that this generation is unaccepting of not doing something great to make sure that the future of Winnipeg is bright.
That's actually a really good place to start with, because you mentioned your generation. So now I'm curious, what generation do you belong to?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm on the, if you go by the book,
yeah.
I'm disturbingly, I think, on that first year of I could be a millennial if you look at me the wrong way, or whatever was right before that.
Generation X.
There you go.
Yeah. So that makes you a cusper. That's what it's called. I'm a cusper too.
I feel like I'm always on the cusp. That's aptly put.
I'm actually a cusper too. I'm a cusper Generation X, a baby boomer. I'm the worst kind, right? Because you don't belong anywhere.
Right, exactly. Well, you belong here.
Yeah. By the way, congratulations on, I think you mentioned slid in there that you're a new dad or
yeah. Well, I'm about to do it again. So I have a just under a 2-year-old.
Okay.
And we had our first daughter in September. And I only say that because in the Permission Click world, in my company's world, that's when school starts. So having a kid the month starting your company, the month school starts, the first few months of your company, not strategically brilliant.
Yeah.
And we're having another kid in about 8 weeks, right in the middle of September yet again. So don't talk to me about strategic planning today. We can talk about other things. But maybe not that.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, that tends to be my specialty, so I tend to dig into it. Okay, so one of the things I mentioned in the intro, I said that you're an entrepreneurial pioneer, but I was digging through, you got to watch what you put on LinkedIn. I was digging through your resume, and I noticed that you've studied at the University of Manitoba.
I think
a degree in commerce. Was that correct?
I did an intended first year of computer engineering.
Okay.
And I'm a computer tech nerd. And I very quickly appreciated, I was humbled, I could not be even remotely the best in the world at being a computer engineer.
Okay.
And so I had this mortally shaking time where I felt like I wasted a full year of university. I'm on the wrong path. What do I do? I'm very lucky that my best friend in the whole world happened to start his university career in commerce.
Okay.
And so I had a bit of a view of what was going on. And I thought, well, hey, if I go over there and try the business end, I can just work with really freaky smart people, tech nerds the rest of my life, which is exactly what I'm doing. It took me a few years to get there, but here I am and I love it. So,
I mean, you know what? That's quite interesting because that's a great realization to have, right?
Well, it wasn't at the time.
It wasn't at the time, but hindsight's 20/20, right? But I had the privilege. I've built my career on the back of technology also. So I rode the wave just at the right time.
Right.
And I joke about being a cusper, but I mean, it sort of ran into a lot of stuff. But I got into business and information technology integration early in my career. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking, you know, I'm now talking 28 years ago.
Right.
And when nobody else was
doing
that. We're
not going to say punch card a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I'm past punch card. But I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was quite interesting to do that. And that's the same idea, right? Bringing business and technology together.
Yeah, well, that's where I started too. My first year at Commerce, I actually took a business analyst role at Great West Life.
Okay.
So I spent a year, trying to replace these 42 legacy systems with one new one. I was a very small cog in a huge wheel.
Huge wheel, yeah.
But again, I mean,
still,
you know,
the experience and exposure.
Everything you go through, you just sort of like, well, I really kind of dig this. I love the details of technology and functionality, and I like all of this stuff. But just, being a cog in the wheel was the thing that I learned that I wasn't jiving with. And I did a major in entrepreneurship. So, but at the same time, the big irony of being an entrepreneur at that time, this is, of course, 10 years ago or whatever it wasn't like it is now. You didn't walk out of commerce and have the infrastructure we do now to start a business, ground up, take a bet on yourself right out of school. I had to go and save up a bit of a war chest
to make that all happen.
So, yeah.
You know what we'll do? I think that's a great leaping off point for our next segment or starting point. So what we're going to do is we'll take a short break. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we're going to talk about being an entrepreneur and startups when we come back. Set. Hi, it's Richard Lannan, and you know what? I'm hanging out with Chris Johnson, my new best friend. Yeah, all in the world.
I'm honored.
He's honored. Just before the break, we were talking about the whole idea of starting a company, Chris. I mean, you started, 10 years ago, started saving your pennies or whatever it was, and then the whole idea that, there's places for people to go now, and it's a lot easier maybe to start up something. So maybe we could just jump off right there. And what did you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, at first, in the break, I was trying to remember 10 years ago because I can't even believe I have a 10 years ago. First of all, that shocks me. But 10 years ago, so 2005, I get out of commerce and I went and, like I said, I got sucked into the machine, which is a great experience.
Which big, corporate type position.
And then I was really blessed to go and work for a large company in Winnipeg that had a couple special little divisions that had varied levels of success. So I got a beautiful chance, and that was actually with E.H. Price, to go in and work in a couple sort of strategic units in the company, special small units. And I was sort of the cheap guy. I was probably in the right place at the right time. I definitely had a little more responsibility than maybe I would even have trusted myself with looking back. And I'm eternally grateful to Joe and Jerry and the E.H. Price team for letting me do that. But it sort of carved out at a young age top and bottom line responsibility and how to look at a whole business. But at the same time, I wanted to do something on my own. I just wanted to build. And so I went and worked for another company selling tools of all things, Black & Decker and Stanley Tools. And I worked my butt off and I saved up enough where I could at some point jump out knowing I'm probably not going to make any money for 18 months.
Okay.
So I saved up enough where my wife and I said, hey, if I for 24 months make no money, this is my one shot in life. I'm going to go and give it a shot. And I got my first paycheck 19 months in. So thank goodness. Just under the radar.
So yeah, with all the stress and the sweat and everything. Ooh, I got to go get a job, right?
It's certainly gut-wrenching. But what I found is I wanted to do something. But what do? You've got your business degree. Good for you.
Yeah.
You live in Winnipeg and you're going to start and build a company here. Great. So I went around and tried to talk to other business people, tried to find an idea. I'm not an idea guy. I cannot identify a need in a market and say, I'm going to go do that.
Wow. That's an interesting statement to make, actually.
Yeah. Well, too many people worry about that. You don't have to have ideas. I promise there are more than enough ideas out there that do not have people to execute on.
Oh, okay.
And I know that now more than I ever did. I mean, the University of Manitoba's Technology Transfer Office, it's a goldmine. You could walk in there. and have a state-of-the-art technology, patents probably filed on it, researchers who might come on the team and back you, sitting there just waiting for you to pick up and run with. And yeah, you pay a small royalty, but you didn't have to bet your house or mortgage on prototyping some idea. So, you know, back then it was, how can I find someone to work with? And so I ended up booting up this thing called Ramp Up Manitoba, which was a place where a bunch of developers and some designers and some entrepreneurs can come together, share ideas. What are you working on? And come together and build something great. And what ended up happening was we went from three of us sitting down to eight of us sitting down to, you know, we've had hundreds of people at these meetups. And around the same time, you know, Mike Legarry and Kerry Stevenson and David Bernhard had started this thing called AscentWorks, which was like a you know, now North America's largest maker space. And we joined those two things together because then we had a full continuum of, I could be an engineer for the first time ever. Think about this. I can go out and have beers or sit down at a meetup or have a hackathon weekend, meet other people like me. 50 ideas might get pitched. I'm going to pick, you know, we're finite in Winnipeg. We have a certain amount of talent and capability. I'm going to pick the top five. Mm. And those best ideas are going to be built with the best people we have with the highest chance of success. And that's what's been happening over and over and over again. And all of that was an investment, just like anything else, just like being an investor, investing in a company, wanting a return. A number of us invested in the community with our volunteer time and passion to just build that infrastructure and that community and a bunch of capability so that people could show up with passion and talent and then over time, you know, see the return of opportunity exposure and the ability to build our own, my own company is a product of this very community.
Now, that's actually quite interesting because you're providing the ability to execute, as you mentioned beforehand, and somebody else is providing the brain power behind what you're executing. Is that reasonable to say
it's
way?
It's an organic thing.
Organic. So explain, you know, organic thing.
Well, what I mean is we run these things called ramp-up weekends. Okay. And we'll have, say, 7,500 people show up for a weekend. Everybody just pays $100 or whatever. You show up and you're going to spend 54 hours locked in a room with people over the weekend to build a prototype of something, get it out to market and validate it, try and earn some revenue if you possibly can, and like come out of the weekend with a business that you could go start.
Oh, wow. That's pretty amazing. For $100?
For $100. And, yeah. And you know what? There are multiple companies that have raised millions of dollars within a year later of having gone through that process.
Now, now you got me intrigued by Ramp Up Winnipeg. Now, is that something that you have to go in having an idea already, something sort of already percolating, or can you just sort of show up and suddenly find yourself as part of a innovative or creative team and you just sort of throw it in?
It's half and half, man. Like, I'm a guy who shows up with no idea. I just have some hustle and I want to get some stuff done and I want to build something great.
Yeah.
And then there's people who have a great idea. So, you know, like the idea for Permission Click actually came from a school teacher. My company, the digital permission slips in that, came from a school teacher who really wanted to solve. Luckily, her husband is an entrepreneurship instructor at Red River College. Luckily, he was involved in the community. Luckily, he was at a ramp-up weekend. Luckily, I was there. And then, you know...
And then it just sort of all connected and everything. Yeah, you know, it reminds me, years ago, and I often tell this story, I got the opportunity to work in Palo Alto, California. And I got to work on creative teams. And on those creative teams, I mean, it was just very much similar to what you're talking about. There'd be a doctor and a lawyer and an artist and a computer junkie and a programmer. And then there'd be me.
Right.
And we would just be thrown in this space together. And suddenly it would be like, okay, here's the idea. And then we'd have to work it, you know, and then we'd come out with something or we'd come out with nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was okay.
That's exactly what happened. So wind the clock back.
Yeah.
10 years ago out of school, 5 years ago, I'm looking around for something. There's no infrastructure. Today, it's a different world for somebody coming out of commerce or engineering or the sciences. Or
how about somebody who has a lot of experience but it's in transition?
They want to do
something absolutely new and this is nothing.
If you're sitting at your desk and you had that idea at your kitchen table last night, did you know that you could walk into what is now called North Forge, by the way? North Forge is the amalgamation of Startup Winnipeg, AscentWorks, Ramp Up Manitoba. It is a powerhouse of innovation. It's community grassroots driven by entrepreneurs, for entrepreneurs. And so you can walk into a North Forge with an idea and you can have people help you build it, prototype it for cheap, figure out is there going to be a market fit or not, plug you in with all the right events to be at, help you, you know, facilitate and find and raise capital and augment you, whether you're an entrepreneur who needs engineers or an engineer who probably needs somebody who can actually take and build a business. All of that happens right here in Manitoba. And we have one of the strongest communities in the entire country. We often reach out and are connected by other communities in the country, and we openly share the best practices. But in Winnipeg, people are blessed. If you have an idea and you're listening to this and you're sitting around wondering, how do I do it?
Then this might be the place to do it.
You reach out to North Forge.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll take a short break and we'll come back and talk about some of the ideas that you've gotten involved with. This is Richard Lannan. We'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we look at what we're doing in our business and life. You know, part of being successful is finding a winning approach that helps you, well, I guess, become set for success and achieve your business goals. But how exactly we do that? And you know what? We're finding out a little bit about that today in terms of really matching business people and great ideas or technology together through a number of different organizations that exist in our very business environment. And maybe things that you weren't aware about. Maybe you have a great idea and you need a place to bring it so people can look at it and sort of make it work for you to help you really think it through and then maybe connect you with some people that can help you execute on that idea and make it into a profitable business. Or maybe the other way is true, that you're a great business executor, you're able to really make things happen, but you're looking for a great idea. So where do you go for that? So here's the scoop. We're talking to my new best friend, Chris Johnson, regarding that particular issue and what is actually available in our marketplace, in the economy, in our business environment today to make it happen, to help us work together, unravel complex issues, make better business decisions, and establish a common direction for our success. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hi, and welcome back. And I'm chatting with Chris Johnson. You know, just before the break, we were talking a bit about North Forge and Ramp Up and Access Works. And hopefully I got all those names right there, Chris.
Close enough.
Yeah. I'm curious, you know, it's great to talk about these things and your entrepreneurial background and everything, but how are some of these things work for you? Can you bring us through an example, like even maybe for Permission Click or somebody else you've worked with, how sort of going to some of these and how it all feels and how it went through? That'd be really great.
Yeah, well, that's easy to do. There's lots of great examples to pull from. I certainly will, you know, pull some from Permission Click because it's close to me and I can openly talk about it, but I'll paint some other great examples. So.
Well, maybe we'll stop here first. Not quite stop, but let's first explain what Permission Click is.
What is a Permission Click?
We got some kind of visual on
sure,
it.
Sure, sure. So the shameless plug. So Permission Click is digital permission slips, forms, and payment collection for K-12 schools.
Okay.
So for the first time ever, a school district has a tool to manage risk and liability and make sure that all the schools are using the same templates and forms, are being filled out the right way, they're being stored for compliance. It is a nightmare chasing them around for approvals, so we handle all the back-end approvals magically. So it's very, very boring for the average person, but I promise
now,
for risk managers, it's very
as
cool.
As a parent who's highly technology literate,
right.
Paperwork?
Yeah, it's a bummer. It's a bummer.
Let me go online and click.
Yeah. So right, like so there has to be a better way than shipping it home with a kid in a backpack.
So let's take that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially since kids don't bring things home or they forget to tell you. So let's back that up then. So bring us through how that all came about and how, you know, the whole process and maybe added another example too.
Yeah, totally. So Permission Click. Digital permission slip sounds like a universally good idea. I would agree. I was intrigued. And the idea came from a guy named Scott McCauley and his wife who had the initial idea. So what happens? Well, Manitoba's North Forge community has an event called Ramp Up Weekend. So he shows up, pitches the idea, and a bunch of people kind of get together and work on the idea over the weekend. So we'll actually hustle up on LinkedIn and like reach out. Can we get a school district to say they're interested? How much would you pay for this? And then they actually have some developers on the team trying to build a prototype in like 54 hours to see, can we even build this thing and what does it look like? And then following the event, the hard work begins. So validated, it took one of the top spots at the thing. Sounds like a good idea. The next step was 100 phone calls. I literally called school districts, principals, tech directors. This is a good idea, but can you pay for it? What are the legal requirements? How do we build it so that we're not breaching student privacy laws?
Yeah, so all you're going out and getting all the key requirements because you and I both have a background in business analysis. So we know business requirements, stakeholder requirements, requirements, and implementation requirements.
Yes.
We know the four key requirements
That's
and your 100 phone calls.
You know three more than I do, but yes, I'll go with that.
I can even go further in detail if you want to, but it's not my show. No, maybe it is. you're the guest. Never mind.
anyway, so that's what we did. We went out and we gathered up. How might you do this? And that's the hustle that it takes. It's lean startup methodology. How can we do this for as little money as fast as possible and get to the first paid customer?
So let's just pause there for a second. Whenever I'll use terms in the show, I like to define them a little bit. You mentioned lean methodology. Let's just go, what does that mean?
I'll summarize it by saying fail fast, fail cheap.
Okay, yeah.
If this idea is going to blow up, let's blow up $2,000 in with a poor prototype that might have smoke coming out the back end versus let's spend $20,000 building a full solution that we don't actually know if it's going to work or someone can use.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. So then what happens? Great. Now we've gone out, we've got this sort of wireframe, right? So a sketch of like, here's what the pages of the app look like. Here's what it's going to do. And then we sort of scope it in and go, okay, that's all this stuff. What's the smallest thing we can possibly build? This. Okay. How long is it going to take us to do? How much money do we need to do that? Okay. Now we got to go find a tech software coder who's crazy enough to join us on this adventure. But we can go and sit down with them and say, look, we've vetted it all out. It looks really good. Do you want in? And we did that. So we found someone to join us. So they did make a lot of money and they came on in, took some risk. And then the next step is now we need to go and raise some capital. So we went out, we got a couple customers on, we got some validation. Now we need to raise some capital. Northforge is the thing that plugs you in with angel investors, people who want to cut, 50, 100K checks in to get you going.
Yeah.
Then you go hire one or two more people. You do a whole bunch more lean exercises over and over and over. You build more features. You change your pricing. You try some different markets. You hustle. And then you hit a seed round of capital where the check sizes just go up. The activities remain the same.
Yeah.
The activities are always the same. You just have more people on your team. You're trying some different market channels. You're learning a ton about your product. You're refining it. And you're getting better at making hypotheses, trying it, measuring the output, rinse, repeat. And that's all it takes to build a business.
I love the way that you said rinse, repeat. I thought that was a really good, and then all what it takes to build a business.
Yeah.
Because you are following a rapid development approach to what you're doing. I think when I used to be at PricewaterhouseCoopers many moons ago, there's a plug, eh? I think it was basically shoot, aim, fire, or something like this.
Right.
Or it was fire, aim, shoot, or something like this. Yeah. We used to do it backwards. I didn't see if I'm messing up, but it's the same type
fire,
of concept.
Yeah.
We would actually be well on the way and determine whether as we're going along was a good idea or not, and then be willing to fail.
That's right.
And I've heard that many times myself. This was more on the consulting side of the equation and the technology side, not on the traditional side of the business.
The general, if you build it, they will come. If you have a brilliant idea, people will find it, is absolute malarkey. It does not happen that way. Maybe for the precious few. It is much better to have a strong team of people with any given idea than have a brilliant, patentable. Like the number one thing I hear is people go, I got this great idea, but I don't want to tell you about it. I need you to sign an NDA.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not going to share your idea and get validation.
Yeah. And the technology world is very difficult to not do that. I mean, in order to make it happen, you have to have a team. You have to be able to share your idea and see if it's going to work or not.
Yeah.
You know,
the first thing I hear, though, the biggest mistake I see out there is people go out and they spend all this time and money worrying about protecting their idea and filing for patents and spending $20,000-$30,000 on that. When for $20,000 or $30,000, they might have built half a darn prototype, gotten it out, and found a customer.
And made it happen.
Right. And so there's time and a place. And the first thing you do is execution.
Execution.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you jump right in and just sort of see if it's going to work.
That's exactly right.
That's great, actually. So where do I take this? I mean, if you look at just some of the things that you've done in terms of the work you've been doing with some of these prototypes, this has been working for you for a while, this sort of approach to things.
Yeah, well, it's not just for me. Like, again, this is benevolent, volunteer, community stuff. So my company, Permission Click, is very personal to me. But I'll give you another great example. There's a couple guys who have been volunteering at the Scentworks Makerspace since they were in college. They've been around there for 4 or 5 years. They're hanging out with mechanical engineers, trying to build some snowboards and that sort of thing. And these guys now had an idea. They built it. They put it up on Kickstarter. I think they sold a couple $100,000 and they're out the door, and they did that in less than 3 months.
Oh, wow. You know what? I think what we should do is we'll take a short break and we'll come back, maybe kickstart ourselves in that space, and then we'll talk a bit about what you need to do to be set for success. This is Richard Land, and we'll be right back.
What an awesome say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I've been chatting with Chris Johnson. He is the founder and CEO of Permission Click. I guess also, more importantly, he is an entrepreneurial pioneer and who really knows his strength in the area of of execution of businesses. Loves, but openly admits that he's not the idea guy. He actually works with other people that he figure more smarter than he is. Just before the break, which I think is a great thing, by the way, Chris, that you recognize that.
Well, there's
I just
a lot
want
of
to
them,
say that.
So the odds are good.
The odds are good. I know. I hung around with some very smart people myself, and I went, okay, I better just focus on what I know how to do well.
Yep.
We were talking about Kickstart. I think you were talking about a couple of young chaps that were trying to figure out what they wanted to do, and
yeah,
they came up with an idea. Let's talk a bit about how they came about that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if I'm listening to the show, I want to be inspired. And if I want to be inspired, I just look to guys like this. So there's these couple young guys. They were volunteering in the community at ScentWorks, showed up in college, did not know how to use any equipment really, have just been hanging around, watching engineers come in and prototype all sorts of crazy projects and satellites for space and, you know, all sorts of different things. And even tried like booting up a snowboard company and tried a couple other sort of service-based companies until they stumble on an idea and realized, hey, you know, we could actually build the world's best of this thing. And now, granted, it happens to be a grinder, but doesn't matter. So they did that. But this is the cool thing. They were hanging around the space, met complimentary people, were able to come up with an idea, spent a couple months prototyping it using multi-million dollars worth of machinery for $100 a month to be a member. They prototype it. They put it up on Kickstarter. So if people aren't familiar with Kickstarter or Indiegogo, you design a prototype, you sort of build a little video, a little page, and then people can go and fund it. They can crowdfund it.
Okay.
So if people aren't familiar, crowdfunding means you can go to Kickstarter or Indiegogo. You could throw $50 at a project and maybe you get one of the first units off the line, but you're also helping them support the project by helping them buy.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys did that. I think they sold like a couple $100,000 of their product online to people all over the world, were picked up by all sorts of media, but they'd never built a single unit. They built prototypes. So for very little amounts of money, they had a thing that they could show to the world. Look at this. This is the world's most efficient grinder. It's amazing. And here's why. And people bought into it. I bought one.
So you bought one. When you say most efficient grinder, by the way, I need to define what
herb
is
grinder.
Herb grinder.
So,
okay,
yeah,
what kind of grinder? Because I was thinking
ground.
Skateboarder.
That's
grinder.
Right, yeah.
I was then thinking grinder for my automobile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
herb
but herb grinder.
Yeah.
So okay.
Often,
so that's pretty
often
cool.
Used in the medical marijuana space.
Right? Okay.
So it's it is a maybe a bit of a controversial sort of product.
Product.
However,
yeah.
They're not. It's a smart play. This is a booming market. Legalization's coming. And people need a way to efficiently, especially older folks who are using it, it's geared, you know, so that it's easier to turn all this stuff. So it doesn't matter. Point is that these guys, if you would have asked them 12 months ago, what are you going to do? They probably would have said, we still don't know.
We have no idea.
And now they have their own 2,500 square foot facility in an industrial park. They've gone out and acquired all their own equipment, and they're now producing thousands of these things that 12 months ago they didn't even know would exist.
Now, you mentioned something about crowdfunding, and you mentioned, what was the organization?
Kickstarter. Indiegogo. There's a bunch of
them.
Those are the two biggest.
So let's just say you have an idea, and you go through the process, and you go through crowdfunding and use one of these things, one of these particular crowdfunding organizations.
Yep.
Do eventually you look for capital from angel investors and
you
things
may.
Like this,
it
or
depends.
Investments?
You may. It depends. People don't own your company. That's a common misnomer. When people, if you go and raise $200,000 on Kickstarter, they don't own
a portion of your company.
They've bought product. They've committed to your vision.
So in other words, they basically pre-bought.
They're your first customers.
It's
incredible. But they're buying it on a dream that you can commit and do it.
And make it happen.
And sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't.
So,
most of the times they do.
So in this case here, the willingness as a crowd funder person, putting my money in, I might be willing to lose $50.
Yeah, like
right?
you remember the Nest. Lots of people know the Nest Learning Thermostat.
Yes.
If memory serves, I believe that was a Kickstarter, one of the most successful Kickstarter products of all time.
Yeah.
And people went there because they're like, oh my goodness, a learning thermostat sold. Right.
Yeah.
And enough people do that they can hit economies of scale. They have enough cash in hand. They can go buy the molds. They can produce the product. They have their profits in the end. Then they can go and reinvest.
That's actually quite exciting. I'm glad you shared that piece of information. I mean, out of all the stuff you did, because how often do you have somebody maybe sitting there who is an inventor, you know, and they have a brilliant idea, and you know what? There maybe is a market out there for you, but they just don't have the resources to make it happen.
You have to get going. You have to get off the couch and swing the bat. It doesn't mean you have to leave your job day one.
Yeah.
You can moonlight. You can find other people who maybe are younger, who have the gumption and the hustle. There's all sorts of recipes to make the success happen. But the one common point that has to be there is you have to get off your butt. Yeah. You have to get out get off and the swing couch. The bat. You have to get off the couch.
Get off the
you
couch.
You have to get out of the cubicle. Yeah. You have to do something.
Willing to do it. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Easy. You can find me on Twitter, at the Johnson Corp. You can certainly find me on LinkedIn, send a message, and we can connect on LinkedIn and or any given Northforge event. Meetups. I'm out for most of that stuff, and we have open houses Tuesday nights. Every Tuesday night in Innovation Alley, Mayor Bowman, to his credit, renamed the street Innovation Alley.
I saw
after
that.
What we're doing with Northforge. So come on down to Innovation Alley any Tuesday night.
Yeah. You know, that's actually good to know. When you say Innovation Alley any Tuesday night, what times it start?
6 o'clock, and it's 125 Adelaide. So if you know where the Canadian Footwear is, and the Red River College, it's right across the street.
It's
from
right
both
in
those.
That area. Oh, right by Brian's company.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And there's Canadian. Just Brian. Hi, if you're listening.
There it is.
Is there another piece of advice that you might be able to give our listeners just around startups? Just something right from your experience, the challenges and the opportunities that you
experience. It's one that my board has imparted on me as we've grown, and our board is composed of people who have invested a bunch of money believing in the thing that we're doing. And I'm, by the way, eternally grateful for those people. It is make a hypothesis, execute on that hypothesis, measure whether it was successful or not. And that means, if you're going to send out a client acquisition email, was it successful? If you're going to add a new feature, are people clicking on it? Like, what happens to retention rates? We actually track almost 200 individual metrics in our company at Permission Click to figure out how long does it take for people to go from sign up to activation? How long does it take for them to run their first event? That way, when we're doing things like new tutorials or whatever, we can see, is there an output on the other side that says, actually, we reduced the average days it takes to do that by 1.5. So yes, the other piece of advice I would say is no matter where you are in the cycle, make a guess, do something, see if it worked or not. And if it didn't work, maybe you have to hit it from a different angle, but just keep hustling.
Keep hustling. Well, that's a very high energy response. I feel now really energized. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Land for Set for Success, and what a show we've been having. We've been having a great conversation with Chris Johnson, CEO and founder of Permission Clicks, around, I guess, startups and innovation. You know, Chris, if you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Well, I have many things I'd love to part, but I will concisely say this. I remember vividly 5 years ago being the guy on the outside looking in going, how the heck do people start something? How do they get someone to cut them $1 million check? And I wondered if it'd ever be possible. And I can now say that you can absolutely do that. And you can do it here in Winnipeg. And there are more supports via Northforge and Futurepreneur and all these other things than you can ever imagine. You just have to show that you're committed, and you'd be surprised how fast a safety net develops underneath of you. And the other one other piece is you would not believe how difficult it is. It is more fun than any other job on the planet. But it is also amongst the most difficult things and challenges I've ever done. And I'm lucky to have a family that supports the heck out of me doing it. But, you know, it's a road worth taking.
So it's all about support and infrastructure all the way around. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. Chris, I'd like to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Great show. Love your energy. Of course, I'd like to thank the listeners for tuning in. And of course, remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. Have a great day.